what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Copy Blogger Podcast. My name is Tim Stoddart. This week, I am here once again with Tim Stoddart. Hey, Tim. Thanks for joining me. How are you?
It feels good to be Tim Stoddart. I got to say, I think a lot of people wonder about this, and life is pretty good.
Do you know what I think it is? I think if you sign on before me, then you get logged in as yourself, which is Tim Stoddart. But if you get logged in after me, then you get logged in as yourself, which is Ethan. So maybe that's why it happens, but I have no clue. Other than that, I have no clue. I'm just excited to find out every week who you are.
I'm just not sure why you're here as Tim Stoddart. I mean, I know why I'm here as the Tim Stoddart. Did you ever hear that Ben Franklin used to do that? He would circulate rumors that his competitors were dead and that, like, the people publishing their newspapers were frauds.
No, but that's awesome.
For years, he would do it. So you heard it here first, people. I'm the real Tim Stoddart. This guy's a fraud. I don't know why he's continuing the ruse, but the jig is up. What's going on, man? It's good to see you. Happy Friday.
Yeah, likewise. What's going on? I've been looking at this office space downtown, thinking that maybe I want to get an office and actually create a bit of a studio. But the reason why I'm not is because that Hormozy thing keeps popping in my head where, what is it? It's more better new, because people always want to get new shit, when a lot of times the thing to do is either more of what you're doing or do what you're doing better. And I'm thinking, like, why would I want to add new to my plate when there's so much room for more and better? But I'm also thinking that it would be nice to have a little bit more of, like, a professional video studio when the day comes that we actually start doing this podcast.
When we get a second Zoom account. That's interesting, that's man. I mean, that's actually a really interesting hang up, because I feel like you would thrive in an in-person environment, especially in Denver, man. Like, it could just be are you thinking just for yourself, or would it be more like a co-working space where you could have the local who's who of the Denver creator scene swing by?
Both. So there's a office. It's kind of like a WeWork. It's basically a WeWork. But I think their model is a little bit more formal office space, where, like, you actually get an office space, but the whole thing is still co-working, you know, free coffee, free snacks, free fucking elevator rides, whatever it is that they put in there. It's called Industrious.
Free elevator rides.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be a more expensive co-working space.
I can see why you've been toiling over this decision. I mean, when they throw sales language like that at you, it's
but anyway, that's been my life for the week, just constantly circulating as to whether I want to get an office and actually have a place to work that doesn't have these monsters bashing my door in every day. But I'm actually still leaning towards no. So who knows? Maybe next week I'll be in a brand new backdrop with the sky rise behind me because of my fancy elevator. But it's doubtful. But what about you, man? How was your week?
Good. It's weird. This was the 4th of July week. And I've been thrown off the entire week because we had that, like, day off kind of in the middle. And being on a publication schedule, my entire week is pretty locked in. I mean, we publish 4 newsletters a week at Hampton right now, plus I do my own, plus we publish blog posts and manage social media. And then there's all this community stuff that goes on. And the only way to manage all that is to be pretty dialed in with, like, this happens on this day. You know, it's a pretty rigorous schedule. And having a day off kind of in the middle, I was thrown completely off. I kept thinking it was Sunday, which is a day that I usually prep, like, multiple newsletters. And I was like, oh, I got to check to make sure all my research is in place. And then I was like, wait a second. No, I've got 5 more days until that's due. It was a whole hot mess. But really nice. It's great to be up here for these like holidays. I got a lot of family around and stuff. So it's been good. It's been good. And of course, I've been celebrating the launch of Threads, which I know you haven't been super stoked on. We'll get into that.
Okay. First off, don't come at me like that just because you know that your argument for today's episode is already in the shit can. So I'll just let that one slide before we get into the Elon versus Zuckerberg, you know, rumble in the jungle. What's a good phrase we can do it? I don't know, something Twitter. In the social, or we got to come
something,
up with a
something
phrase.
In the tree. It's got to be something in the treetops, right? Because it's all about Twitter and the Twitter copycat. There's a cat in the treetops. I don't know. But yeah, before we get into it, I got a quick listener shout out, which I'll just throw out here. Shout out CJ Chilvers. He was listening to the show. He really enjoyed our breakdown of Peter Zion's business, and he ended up turning me on to this guy named Billy Hall. Have you heard of him? Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall. This guy named Ryan Hall. Have you ever heard of him?
No, there's a ton of Ryan Halls on the internet.
Dude, get this. He's a weather influencer. So he does YouTube videos about like weather patterns. He's got 1.4 million subscribers. And it looks like he does about a video a week. And, you know, I was thinking of you when I was scrolling his channel because of the way you scrolled Zion's channel. And you're like, look, you know, bang, 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 bang. Every single one of these is just a killer. His is the same way. He doesn't publish as often as Zion, but he's averaging the same number of views. 1.5 million, 2.6 million, 2 million, 1 million. These are like each week the videos are crazy. And they're all weather videos. And I haven't looked deeply into this yet, but I told CJ, I'm like, this guy seems nuts. A weather influencer with 1.5 million followers. This is insane. And he goes, if you think that's cool, you got to see the live shows. Apparently he does like 10-hour long live shows. And I don't know if that's a live stream or literally live on stage, but he'll do these live shows where he's curating a ton of content and then also raising money for victims of storms and stuff like that. So I added this guy to my list of people to break down because he's fascinating to me. But I just wanted to shout out CJ for getting in touch, listening to the episode, and then also turning me on to this creator. Oh, and real quick, for people who are interested, CJ, you can find him on Twitter at CJ Chilvers, C-H-I-L-V-E-R-S. And I would suggest checking out his newsletter. He has got a lot of cool stuff similar to like what we talk about here, being a creator, being a publisher. I'll just shout out literally the most recent issue he did was on like why RSS feeds are great. And that's something that I've long believed too. So it's cool to see somebody talking about that. CJ, thanks for listening, man. And thanks for getting in touch.
CJ is great. I did not know that he did that. He and I have been internet buddies, Twitter buddies but you know what? Actually, that's not true. I don't even know if we've ever communicated through Twitter. He follows my super secret blog that only a few people know about, and he replies to my morning emails pretty often. CJ's great. He also has a great blog. I was looking for it. I was looking for the link to it because he I don't think he writes daily, but he writes pretty often, and I'm subscribed to it, and I really enjoy his blog. It's like old school blogging, the kind of stuff that I like, and RSS feeds it right into my inbox. So I don't know the link to it, but we'll definitely link that in the show notes. If you want to check out CJ's blog, check out copybloggerpod.com, and it'll be listed in the show notes.
Yep, it's also linked up right in his Twitter account, cjchilvers.com, and that's exactly what I was thinking of. This is like old school blogging at its best, which I enjoy, especially as more and more new technology launches. It's like you look for the signal, and I think he's good at that, which is actually a perfect dovetail into today's topic, new technology launching. So, Tim, do you want to set this up for people? What are we talking about today?
I have no idea where this is going to go. First off, since you gave me the mic, which was a mistake, I am going to frame my argument And my argument is not that Twitter is dying. My argument is that Threads is going to so easily, so quickly, and like embarrassingly make Twitter almost irrelevant. So let's start with just some basic numbers. Four hours ago.
Okay, go on.
No, you go.
Well, I was just going to say four people listening who might be out of the loop, because I know from experience talking to people that there are people who have no idea what Threads is and will probably never know about it since it's a passing fad. For people who don't know, we're talking about the launch of Threads, the big Twitter rival, Twitter copycat. It's gotten all the news. It's the craziest thing in our circle right now. Everyone's talking about it. Is it worth the hype? Should you pay attention to it as a creator? Should you be investing in this? And to Tim's point, what happens to Twitter next? You know, is this going to be a situation where months from now you'll regret it if you don't get involved or not? So we both have different points of view on this, and I think we're just going to hash out some of that stuff here.
Thank you, by the way, for reeling that back in, because I was about to just
launch into
off
it.
The starting block.
You know what Your I mean? Honor. But first, he's got like a binder of information in front of him. All right, go for it.
But yes, Threads is a new app that has been released by Meta, aka Facebook, and it couldn't be more of a Twitter copycat if it tried. We did an episode similar to this with Substack's Notes, I think it's called. I think it's called Notes, which is similar in that it's text-based and reply-based and follows some of the same written word functionality as Twitter does. The difference is that Meta is not Substack. And if there is one thing that Mark Zuckerberg is really good at, I don't know Mark Zuckerberg, by the way, but if there's one thing that he is really good at, it is copying other people's ideas and buying other people's ideas. As revolutionary as Facebook was, and I think it's important to admit that, because like all of 2.0, well, I guess Friendster probably started it, and then MySpace, but you know, let's be real, Facebook blew the whole thing up, blew up Web 2.0. And aside from that, nothing that Facebook has created really has worked. It's all been copying other people's ideas and buying other people's stuff. And that includes Oculus, by the way. Oculus is basically a failure. I think you could say that. I don't know the numbers. You know, the metaverse stuff is looking like a failure. And so to see this succeed so quickly, especially at a time when, in my opinion, Twitter is so incredibly vulnerable, has been fun to watch. So I teed it up. I'm not Team Zuckerberg, because I think they're all borderline sociopathic. I mean, you have to be if you're going to like build those kind of companies. But I think that Threads is going to be a way better platform. I think it's going to smoke Twitter so quickly. I mean, I give it a month, and ultimately is going to be much more beneficial for people to spend time on.
Done. I've got some pushback. So first of all, I'll just admit I'm Team Elon, and I wouldn't consider myself like an Elon fanboy, right? I'm not going to defend everything that he does, but specifically when it comes to Twitter, I admire the process that they're working through. And I feel like, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but the way that they seem to be building in public and iterating and thinking through creative solutions to problems, to me, is just a winning formula. It's very hard to beat somebody like that. You can maybe outrun them in the short term, but as long as they continue to take like a first principles approach to how do we solve this problem of quality online information sharing, I ultimately think they will come out ahead. I think before we could say, you know, Threads will smoke Twitter or Twitter will smoke Threads, it probably need to set some kind of baseline for what we even mean by that, right? Because the reality of this is that a lot of these platforms, you know, they come into existence, they find their core user base, and then they just exist forever. like even Twitter. Twitter's a great example because it's maybe it's a centerpiece of public conversation now, but Twitter's existed for years and nobody cared about it, right? And I think it's completely possible that Threads comes on the scene, quickly attracts this core user base. Whether or not most of them stay is debatable, but then, like, let's say 80% of them flee. Threads could still be quite a successful little social network of people like that are raving fans of it. And we'll get into this more too. But so I'm Team Elon. I have a hard time defining success of one of these anyways, but let me tell you why I don't think Threads is worth investing in. Well, actually, you know what we should do? We should frame it this way. Is Threads worth investing in as a creator right now, right? Because the debate of whether or not they're going to win, that who even knows? But there are some pretty concrete things you could look at as a creator. So my big thing with any new platform is, does it actually drive the bottom line? And I'm particularly touchy about this because we just came out of the whole TikTok era where people, you know, TikTok sort of had its moment in the sun. It became the thing that everybody wanted, everybody was doing. Some brands actually made that work. But now what we're finding is that a lot of people built these huge audiences and they're not getting any clicks from it. And you and I are both on the same side when it comes to that, right? Like that's useless. So the real question is Threads worth investing in as a creator? And I think the way to answer that is, does it drive the bottom line? What's your take so far? Because I've got some thoughts on this.
It's a great perspective. My take is I don't know. I can tell you that over the last... Okay, hold on. There's a bunch to unpack there. I do not see how anybody is seeing what Elon Musk is doing at Twitter and looks at it and calls it a success. Everything has been a huge failure. So the blue check mark was the dumbest, duddest thing ever. And when I say that, the first thing that people do is like, oh, why do you have a blue check mark? Well, I pay the $9 a month because I'm pretty positive that you get some kind of amplification by paying. And so the whole reason of me being on Twitter is to grow my reach and get clicks to my profile to get my email list. However, even with that $9 a month, which from just a basic, what's the word for it? Like social standing standpoint, doesn't make any sense because there's no value in it anymore. Anybody can have it. It's got nothing to do with you being verified. It's got nothing to do with you being cool or having some kind of status signal. It's all it is do I pay $9 a month for no reason? And like, yes, I'm one of those suckers that does. But even with paying that $9 a month, my reach on Twitter is down. I mean, I was at 2.4 million a month, and now I'm like struggling to break 500,000 a month. Like, so it's dead, man. Like, my email signups on Twitter are garbage. Coincidentally, well, maybe not a coincidence. Another side topic is LinkedIn is so up, man. I think the culture on LinkedIn is probably going to be the place to be for writers for the next year or 2 years. And we'll see. Okay. So framing that one, when you say that you admire the iterative thing, I don't know what you're talking about because the whole thing looks like it's falling apart to me. Also, spending my time on LinkedIn is so much more valuable anyway. And not to mention, Twitter's advertising revenue is plummeting, bro. I'm reading on Forbes. I read this. What was it? I'm not going to pull it up because every time I share my screen and go back and forth, I always screw it up. But I'm looking at Forbes, Forbes.com. I'll link this in the show notes. What's the date? June 5th. Twitter's US ad sales down 59%. 59%. How is it even possible? Like, he could have done nothing and not have gotten his ad revenue down so much. Like, is this company even going to survive? You know what I mean? I don't know the numbers because I'm not Elon Musk's friend, but if my company went down 59%, it would be dead on the, it'd be DOA. And so I'm not making it. I guess I am making a case for Threads because there's some more numbers which I want to share, but I'll pass this back to you. And like, what would your response be if somebody says product is shit, reach is shittier than it's ever been, revenue as a business is by far the shittier and it's ever been, and it's kind of turning into a weird cult of personality where, like, if you're not a super MAGA bro and, you know, like, are just into that thing, then you're kind of booted from Twitter, which I have definitely felt, by the way, for sure. So those four counter arguments to why Twitter is not doing well, how's that bounce off of you?
I would say give it time. So like there's two core pieces to this idea. The first is that Elon's track record speaks for itself with me, right? I've never seen him build software unless you want to count PayPal, but the most successful automobile company in a world where automobile companies were essentially impossible to start, the most successful private space company in a world where private space companies were essentially impossible to start. As far as I know, the only impressive tunneling company, the most successful solar company. So, you know, I know that doesn't make him automatically able to handle social media, but if you could be successful across that many domains, you get a couple of free passes in my book when it comes to figuring a new one out. So that's the first part. I think people really underemphasize his ability to figure out industries and then eventually dominate them. The other part is that I think it's important to keep in mind, we don't really have a good baseline for what the quality of Twitter really was beforehand. So one of the big issues that people talk about when they talk about Twitter is the bots. And that's essentially what the whole team at Twitter, I'm not just going to say Elon Musk, it's Elon Musk, the new CEO, and everybody who remains at the company. That's essentially what they're all trying to figure out. How do we have an open forum of information in this day and age where you could have AIs spin up, you know, multiple whatever accounts immediately? If reach is down now, you and I being outside the company don't know if that means people are flocking away from Twitter, if that means the algorithm has changed, or if it means that they've just called it shitload of bots and we never had that much reach in the first place. It's hard to know. So between those two things, my biggest thing is I would just give it time. Now, I look at his willingness to be wrong, and people criticize this, I think, unfairly. From the beginning, he has said that, you know, he's willing to embrace criticism of his own ideas in the name of free speech. And a lot of people come on Twitter and they're like, oh, he doesn't really embrace free speech. But the fact that you can do that on Twitter is a pretty good indication that he's at least pretty good at that. I'm not aware of the full picture, but I do think he's been exceptionally open to criticism and willing to fail in public. And to me, those factors are real tough to beat in the long term. I give it to you. The platform feels different now, but I would not count Twitter out for the running. Now, let me. That's why I'm a fan of Twitter. Let me tell you why I think Threads is stupid, and I wouldn't invest in it as a creator. Three reasons. First one, wrong user base. This is probably the least important one, but let me just ask you a quick question. How many of your favorite Instagram creators do you follow on Twitter?
This is going to sound like a cop-out. I'm not the person to ask that because, like, I don't follow Instagram. So I don't even know who I follow.
And that's exactly the point. Threads is Instagram in writing. That's it. The people who are going to thrive on Threads, the people who already thrived on Instagram. And I think people don't want to follow Instagram creators in writing. That's why people go to Twitter, is because there's certain cultures built around the way these different platforms work. And like, if you love the interface of Twitter, the fact that Threads is new is cool, and maybe that's a little bit exciting, but the people who are there and the people who are thriving, I don't care about their opinion in this medium. Like, if I'm going to go follow somebody on Instagram, I want to see their visual work. And same reason I wouldn't go follow like the photography site of some guy on Twitter, right? So I think the audiences are different, and I don't think I think the hype cycle's there, but I just don't think people care about this audience and what they think in this medium, because they're professional visual storytellers for the most part. That's reason number one. Real quick, the other two, or actually I'll just give one more. You can verify this for me because I haven't signed up, so I don't actually know if this is true. But is it true that Threads doesn't have a DM feature?
Mm.
Okay, so to me, it's actually not a Twitter copycat, because to me, that's the most important feature of Twitter. Is like everybody who uses Twitter and gets any benefit out of it, the biggest thing is like, you can just reach out to anybody on there. And it's incredible. And it's the one feature that Facebook left off of Threads, and that blows my mind. I think in some ways, I'm guessing it's because they want to protect Facebook Messenger. But to me, it just betrays a lack of understanding about what the core community actually cares about on Twitter. It's that it's all in the DMs, man. We've even talked about like renaming the show after that. So I thought that was funny when I read it, because I'm like, all this effort invested in a perfect looking knockoff that doesn't have the key feature of Twitter, which is the DMs. And for me alone, that is that's a product killer. So that's where I stand on it. I think it's a hype cycle. Some people will win. The people who should have been there in the first place, who like are perfect, like to sort of steel man my own argument, I have heard that their presentation of video is fantastic. People really like the way it displays. Maybe some other things too. I don't know. I haven't used it yet. But I think the people who naturally tell stories the way that Threads is meant to tell stories, they're going to go there and they're going to thrive. It's going to be great. But Twitter's not going anywhere, man. Twitter is the best at what it does.
Those are great points, and they're not right. So, yeah, Elon Musk is probably a genius. He's also started two of the most subsidized companies in the history of the world, and is that guy that rags about the government for everything. I've yet to find one person, give me an actual example of where the First Amendment was violated on Twitter. And then you can call it censorship, but that's not the same thing as free speech. And maybe that's just a semantic argument in my view, but it drives me absolutely bonkers, because part of the First Amendment is also having the right to go somewhere else. If you don't like it, then you have the right to go somewhere else. And so in a way, I actually do admire Elon Musk for putting his money where his mouth is, as opposed to all of the Twitter bot trolls. Like, none of them have their actual face as their profile picture because they're all like kind of cowards, right? And so Twitter has just become this massive influx of like cowardice trolls. And I'm pretty convinced that there's companies all over the world that do nothing but pay people to sit in a room and tweet stuff with the sole purpose of making people angry. Because a lot of these things that I see, that they don't even make a lot of sense in context of the conversation. It's like, oh, you're just a picture of a dog with lightning eyes saying something to make me angry with a screen name that has like 9 numbers behind it. So that's not necessarily directly to the point, but I have a hard time buying into this whole like, Elon is some kind of savior, because it just doesn't pass the smell test to me. Okay. So talking a little bit more about the data, it could be the case that the people that come to Threads are people who are already on Instagram. And in a way, that would almost be bad for Meta, because they'd almost be cannibalizing their own thing, where they're just taking people they already have and bringing them to other places. I do not think it's going to be all of that, because so many of the great relationships I've made on Twitter, they don't come on anymore because it sucks. Like, we don't spend time on there. And that makes me legitimately sad, because some of like you and I first started talking on Twitter. Some of the best friends that I've made in the world. I mean, Louis is another great example. I got to see Louis at the ConvertKit conference, and like, man, it was so great to see him. I gave him a huge hug. And none of that would have existed if it wasn't for like the friendliness that Twitter lacks. So I think that people are going to migrate from Twitter to Threads. Now, the things that you say about the platform are probably true, but you're missing a key component. And that is that Meta's advertising platform is miles ahead of Twitter's platform. And yeah, some of the people that are like natural writers would go to Twitter or would go to Threads anyway. And so it might be just sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul in some kind of way, right? But it doesn't matter because there's going to be a whole flux of entrepreneurs that would never spend money on Twitter because they're going to end up having their ad right in between somebody shooting Bud Light cans with a shotgun and then somebody else with a red MAGA hat. Nobody wants to do that, right? Like, I'm not going to pay money to get my business put in between such toxic content, but I'll definitely pay Facebook to be on their Threads account because their advertising platform is so much better. So much better. I mean, like 50 times better in terms of targeting, in terms of reach, in terms of, I don't know what the word is, like the, all the ads on Twitter look the same, right? It's kind of these gimmicky products that don't have a whole lot of relevance, where like the professionalism of the ads that you see on Facebook and Instagram, and I don't know if there's ads on WhatsApp. I'm not really sure, but it's like the style of the ads. I don't know exactly how to explain it any better. It's going to be so much better. And so the quality of advertising on Threads is going to have such an enormously higher KPI than the quality of advertising on Twitter, that those people that might have stayed on Twitter for the reasons that you said, they're going to have to go to Threads because all their money is going to be dead on Twitter. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think there's, it's debatable too. In my view, advertising moves in waves, right? So people will find a platform that works. We saw this happen with, I mean, literally everything. TikTok was the most recent one, but people find a platform that works. It works to grow fast. All of a sudden, everybody loves it. And then your growth starts to, you get the, like that, what do they call that? The law of shitty returns, right? Yeah. So it becomes less and less and less effective. And then all of a sudden somebody goes, you know, what's really working for me well right now is blank. And I think that's what we're seeing. If there has been a drop off in Twitter ad effectiveness or ad revenue, it's hard to differentiate how much of that is tied to the politics of Elon himself being in the seat versus the actual effectiveness of the ads. Look, we've said this isn't a political podcast, so I'm going to keep this dispassionate. As a business owner, I'm going to advertise wherever the ads work. And if you want to pretend that businesses will, yeah, I think businesses might drop off for a while, but if your ads start to work, they're going to start buying again. And
do you guys advertise on Twitter? Does Hampton advertise on Twitter?
I actually don't know. I don't know what our paid strategy is, but my personal opinion is that, like, well, actually, I don't pay for ads either, like for my personal brand. But when you look at the abstract, like, business is going to go where business flows, right? So it's newsworthy and catchy to drop your Twitter advertising right now. But see, Elon, he hired a new CEO. He's like not even going to be involved in the day-to-day of the company anymore. And so as soon as that cools off and people don't feel as emotionally invested in whether or not Twitter is a smart buy, I think they're going to start to look at the numbers again. And if the numbers are working, that ad revenue will come back. But that's a good point. I'm not sure I have any data to back up more than my opinion on that, which is just that, like, yeah, ad revenue could be down for now. We'll see what happens in the long term. Can I tell you where I think this whole thread thing is really going though? Well, actually, wait, before I go there, because I think there's a whole angle to this that people haven't really covered yet, which is, I'm curious to run by you. But before I go there, you got to explain something to me, man. Because I haven't used it. I just read about what it is. And what I read is, like, it supports text, video, and images. And then, like, you get followers and you can share stuff and you can restart. How is this different than Facebook?
It's definitely different than Facebook. in that you can make threads, like quite literally like Twitter threads. There's still a limit to the amount of text that you can have. So it's much more of a micro blogging platform. And I think that only makes sense for people that are into social media and you understand that different platforms have like different culture, you know, because you could say, how is Instagram different than TikTok? And when it comes to the Reels or even YouTube Shorts, right? Like they're basically the exact same thing, but they're just different. And so from a functionality standpoint, it is exactly like Twitter. I mean, like, it's not like Facebook. It is exactly like Twitter. A little cleaner. The interface is definitely a little bit cleaner. And it's a little bit more natural. Just you kind of already know what button to push even before you start. But other than that, it's super beta. Like, there's no trending. There's no anything. It's just a timeline of threads, I guess you would call them, tweets. I was thinking about that too. Like, what do we call it? You know, like I tweeted something, right? Did I thread something? I don't know. So I'm interested to see what happens there. But to answer your question, it's definitely different than Facebook. It feels different than Twitter, but it's exactly like Twitter.
That's interesting. Okay, well, let me tell you where I think this is going, because this is the part of the conversation that everybody I think is missing. But here's what I don't think Meta is interested in stealing Twitter's audience. I don't think they could if they wanted to. Like you said, these different tribes, they're cultural. It's not functionality based. I'm not on Twitter because some other website doesn't offer short text-based sharing. Right. I'm on Twitter because like that's where my network is. And that's I like the sense of humor that's involved in Twitter. And I've already mentioned the one key feature that Facebook left out of Threads. But that's a huge part of the reason I'm on Twitter. So I don't think Meta's really after Twitter's audience. This is what I think this was. Have you heard of the ActivityPub protocol? OK, I don't know a ton about this, but ActivityPub protocol is essentially a decentralized network protocol. It's the thing that Mastodon is built on. And it's basically, the idea is like it's a layer of technology that would allow you to carry your audience from platform to platform to platform. And this is the thing that a lot of social media companies are starting to talk about now. How do we do decentralized social? I can't confirm this because I haven't dug deep enough into the tech, but word on the street, I have a quote here that says Meta was looking to integrate the ActivityPub protocol, the technology behind the Mastodon server network, which could potentially enable Instagram users to carry their followers into Threads. My guess, big picture, is that the only reason Zuck really did this and risked a lawsuit with Twitter is to be like a first major mover on one of these decentralized protocols. I don't know what the incentive would be for that. I'm not quite sure yet. It just seems too on the nose to try to make a perfect Twitter clone and think in any realm of reality that that's going to kill Twitter. But in one very important way, they're different, right? Like this new thing, I think, has integrated with this decentralized protocol, which may open the door in the future to people flooding from all sorts of different social media platforms. So again, I don't understand enough about the incentives yet, but for people listening to this, if you're really curious about what's going on here behind the scenes, I would take a second look at that. I don't know what the deal is with ActivityPub, but it seems to me that there's something interesting going on here. And it's, to me, the only meaningful difference between Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Right? It's like it's just sharing text and video and photos. So why do another one? This is why. That's where I would look.
I don't think that's true, man. I really don't. And I look at things in terms of incentives, and we've talked about this before. Like, people only ever do anything because they're incentivized to. And Facebook, other than Google, because Google is probably like the best company ever made in the history of the world, just in terms of like profitability and cash flow and effectiveness of product or whatever. But even through all of the crashes and through COVID and through the recession that never happened, Facebook or Meta's stock has continued to thrive. And some of that recently has been because of the layoffs and they just increased profitability, which is sad, but I guess part of the game. But the big reason is because Facebook just owns all of the advertising revenue that isn't search-based. And Facebook doesn't have much of it. Well, maybe they do. I don't know about the protocol that much. I think that the Web3 thing sort of passed and everybody knows that it didn't come to fruition the way that some people might have envisioned it would have. The point I'm making is that if there is one incentive that Meta and Zuckerberg have to do this, it's ad revenue, because different people would advertise on Threads than, I mean, dude, look, I'll pull this up. 4 hours ago.
Go on. But in a second, 70, I'm going to tell you why we're actually on the same side here. Go on.
Cool. Look, I'm holding my phone to the camera. This is Zuckerberg on Threads. 70 million signups, bro.
It doesn't mean you're talking shit, about dude. The it fact doesn't mean anything. They're all Instagram users. Are you out of your mind? They're all Instagram users.
I don't think that's like, that could very well be true, but it's not all Instagram users. Okay, you know, it's not like that. It's not like that.
I think you and I are actually on the same side here, right? It's like, let's talk bigger picture. And then I want to bring it back to like, as a creator, how should you think about whether this is even worth it? But bigger picture, why would Facebook do this, right? Because they invested millions of dollars, right? In talent in order to do this. They risked a lawsuit with Twitter, which was great PR at the least, but could have potentially been troublesome. Why do this at all? I think you're right. It's ad revenue. Here's why I think we're actually on the same side though. I'm kind of just scanning articles as we read this. So for people listening who actually know the technical details, like help get in touch, fill us in. But this is a quote from Meta, and it says, this is from the Economic Times. Our plan is to work with ActivityPub to provide you the option to stop using Threads and transfer your content to another service. Our vision is that people using compatible apps will be able to follow and interact with people on Threads without having a Threads account and vice versa. So to me, I don't know enough about this to say for sure, but it sounds to me like if you really wanted to get more ad revenue, the way to do it would be to say, let's build a platform where you don't even have to have an account in order to come see our content. And I think that's what Meta's really after here. I don't think Twitter's a big enough player for them to be like, we want to take their ad revenue. I don't even know what Twitter's ad revenue is, but I think it probably is a drop in the bucket compared to Facebook's. But
yeah,
I would also assume that just because Facebook's so old, it's probably impossible to rebuild that platform in a way that really works well with these new decentralized protocols. And I think people are looking at this and saying, this is the future of advertising. Because now it doesn't matter what platform you're on, I can get you over to mine, which is really weird. There's like this weird pulling down of the walls that, you know, these platforms have built over the last 10 or years. But in that way, I kind of think you and I are on the same side. Like, why did Facebook do this? It's for the revenue, for sure. I think the hype is over the Twitter copycat, but the real thing is this ActivityPub DSO protocol that's going to allow you to advertise to essentially anybody on the web, which if that's true, that could be pretty interesting. But let me get your take on this. I'm clearly on one side. Yeah, I'm not going to invest my time in this. I got my reasons for it. You are investing time in it. For somebody listening to this, how would you have them think through their creator like business in order to decide whether or not they should be on this thing right now?
No idea.
You'd just be like, don't listen to Ethan.
No. I mean, no. Like, we're talking about two things here. We're talking about who's going to win the battle and why. And then we're talking about, is Threads an actual opportunity for you to grow? I think it is, not because I think Threads itself is so opportunistic, but because I've seen such a drastic decline in Twitter. And the point that you made about the bots, there were so many things to counterpoint there. They're like, I wasn't trying to bam, bam, bam. But I think whether they're bots or they're spammers, you can kind of put them in the same bucket. Maybe the bots have gone down. The spammers are way, way up. So there's nothing cleaner on Twitter than there was since before Elon. Regardless, I'm thinking to myself, it's not just that the reach on Twitter has gone down. The email signups have gone way, way, way down. And that's all I really care about. So there's no doubt in my mind that Twitter is losing. Like, I think that the team at Twitter is sacrificing the, it's the one thing that Google always did. They never, ever, ever forgot that the only thing that matters at Google is making sure that we answer the user's problems as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And that's why everybody has always gone to Google forever, because you just knew, if I have a problem, I can go to Google and they're going to solve it really quickly. I think the new team at Twitter has forgotten why people go to Twitter. They don't go to Twitter because they feel like they have some bone to pick with everybody. Like, the vast majority of people like myself went to Twitter to make friends. And I don't want to be there anymore because my friends aren't there anymore. And I think, just a guess, like I said, but I think my friends are going to go to Threads because we miss that. We miss that whole serendipitous interacting with people. I mean, my friend Gonzo in Argentina, he has Seed Table. I've been friends with him for a while. Amanda Natividad, Pomp and Polina, you know, like, I got to hang out with them all through Twitter. Even Brian Clark, the first time I ever talked to Brian Clark was through a DM on Twitter. He dissed me because of the slogan I had in my profile. I used your as a contraction instead of a possessive. And so, like, ultimately, if my argument comes down to one thing, it's that people aren't friends on Twitter anymore. They're all shit talkers. They all have some kind of agenda to prove. And I think that the people that actually want to interact and create stuff, who knows? Like, I don't know for sure, are going to move to Threads because we miss that. Because, man, I really, really legitimately miss Twitter. Like, it was by far my favorite thing about the internet. It was so much fun. The best memes, the most hysterical comments, like, the best GIFs and videos. Like, it was the best part about the internet. And maybe I'm living in this, like, idealistic fantasy utopia, right? But I'm going to give it a shot because it can't be any worse than Twitter is right now. Like, it's kind of useless, man. I don't get any email signups from it anymore. And I don't make any friends anymore. And so that sucks.
Here's how I'm thinking about it. Is the audience different? Is it an audience that I want to reach? Do I feel confident that time invested there is going to lead to some sort of worthwhile outcome on my part? I don't care about how big of a followership you can get, because it's early days on Threads. I want it to turn into something that's going to impact the bottom line, right? So personally, it hasn't passed that bar for me yet. I still feel like I'm seeing a lot of people who are high on the hype cycle, who I follow on Twitter. And it's like, if you're right and people are just not going to use Twitter anymore, then yeah, I might end up on Threads one day. But right now, my entire audience on Twitter just moved to Threads yesterday. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to go hang out with the exact same people in a different room. So I'm sticking with Twitter for now. But for people who are thinking through this, I think just be really rigorous about, is this thing actually performing? Because you can spend a lot of time, like, just think about how much time it took to do the short form video thing back when Twitter or TikTok was huge. It was a lot of time. It was a lot of learning of a new platform. There's a lot that goes into it. And when you talk about what would you kind of open this show with? Ironically, we didn't plan to end up here, but you mentioned, what was it? New, better, more? Yeah. New, more, better? Ooh, yeah. we didn't plan to touch on this, but I think that's actually the perfect way to think about it. Everybody's starting from a different point, but from the place that you're at, are you in a place where you need a new platform, where you need to be doing better work on your existing platform, or you just need to be doing more work on your existing platform? I think that's an interesting way to think about it. And then, yeah, we'll see. I mean, the rest is going to be for the history books to play out. Who knows what's going to happen? But I guess we'll find out.
So my prediction is that Twitter becomes even more of an echo chamber, and it's going to be all politicians and free speech maxis, and Threads will become more of a creator platform.
Okay, my prediction is that 2 years from now, Twitter is going to be the best social media network on the web. Period, end of sentence. It'll be the only place where you can go and feel confident you're talking to real people. But it's going to take time. That's my prediction.
All right, man. You went all in. All right, that's your call.
We'll see. Hopefully this podcast will still be going in 2 years. We can revisit this exact episode, come back to it, see where we landed.
Do it. Hold on. I'm going to pull up my calendar.
You can set a date.
Yeah, so July 7th, 2025.
Oh, my God. We're going to be shooting this from Mars.
July 7th, 2025. Okay. Oh, shit. I didn't do that on my calendar. Hold up. Stay with me. Stay with me, everyone. Basically, just get to listen to me. I don't know. Do nothing. Okay. July, May, April, May, June, July 7th, 2025. We'll go.
Check in on Twitter versus Threads.
1 p.m. Check in with Ethan about if Threads or Twitter wins. There's just no way. The one thing that you said that was super relevant is that Twitter is a drop in the bucket. And
that's
it's got
the only thing. That's the only thing that resonated with you, man.
I don't know. Well, I didn't mean it. No, I didn't mean that like as an insulting way. I meant that like Twitter has been punching above its weight class for the whole time, basically. It's just good at staying in the news because so much buzz. It's like the water cooler of social media. It's attempted to be the place where people go to conversate as opposed to publish. Conversate, is that a word? To have conversations as opposed to publish. And I think because of that, it's owned so much of the public discourse that it was easy to be put in the news. But in terms of the user base, like it's always been very, very, very small. And, you know, I'm not like trying to be insultive in saying that. I'm saying that like we have to keep that in mind where, yeah, Threads got 70 million users in a day. It's probably going to be the fastest growing tech platform of all time, even more than ChatGPT. And I get that they're cheating. I get that. But it's like, I just think the muscle that they can bring is going to be too much. And there's going to be such less friction to sign up and build an audience on Threads than there is to be on. Dude, it's taken me like 4 years to build my Twitter to the point where it is now. And all of that for like to have it end up like this, I think that means a lot to people. And I think they're looking for new options.
The thing I would say to people, and I don't want to belabor the point because again, it's time that's going to tell, but every person listening to this who is a member of Twitter, you are part of the future of Twitter. It's like a neighborhood, man. If a neighborhood goes to hell, it doesn't just mean the neighborhood is shit and everybody leaves. It's like you got to contribute what you think you want to see in the neighborhood in order for it to get better. And so, yeah, people could go away for a while. And I think what ends up happening in those situations a lot of time is most people leave until somebody moves in with a little bit of vision and the boldness to clean the place up. And all of a sudden, it starts looking pretty good again. And then everybody comes flying right back. And I think that's exactly what Twitter is going through. It's just we're going through the period, the this is the autumn of Twitter before the winter, before the renewal. So I'm a fan so far. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think the team is doing a great job. Frankly, I disagree with your point on the check mark. And I think that I've seen some really creative thinking in terms of how to actually approach the problem of artificial accounts, like the scroll thing, super creative. And here's what I like. People don't talk, and I'll just mention something very briefly about this too, because I don't think people gave Twitter enough credit for this. They recently implemented, you know what I'm talking about, the scroll limits, right? Where you can only see so many posts per day, depending on what your level is. So if you're a non-verified user, you can see 600. If you are a brand new user, like with, what is it, less than 24 hours old or something, you can only see 300 posts per day. Like, and if you're verified, you can see 6,000. So it's 10x. The fact that Twitter would cap your content consumption is directly opposed with their incentives as an advertising platform. And so to me, that's a great example of putting your money where your mouth is, where they say, look, we're doing this to limit the reach of potentially fake accounts, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot to do it, right? Like, I'm going to get less ad revenue if I can, if I limit how many posts you can see in a day, but we have to do this until like long enough to figure out exactly how to manage this problem. So I see a lot of really creative testing, really creative thinking. I'm a big fan, but time will tell. I think Threads has got its place in the world. I'm curious to see what type of storyteller ends up thriving there. I don't think it's going to be Twitter people, but it's going to be somebody, because it's not going away. I'm really curious to see about this decentralized protocol. And I suppose, yeah, we'll check back in 2 years. I know we're getting up on time here. I have some creator shout outs. Do you want to hear them?
Please. Yeah, please. Great chat, by the way, man. This actually, this was really fun.
I think so too. I actually forgot we were recording. So it's always a good debate when you forget you're recording. All right, I got two for you. The first, you might know this guy, and these are both Twitter accounts. So forgive me, anybody who's already jumped ship. I'm not sure what their thread, what their thread profile is, but Jackie Chow, and his Twitter handle is at Indexy. It's IndexSy. I think his thing was like SEO. But what's really cool about him is that he does monthly breakdowns on how he makes his revenue. And there, it's like, first of all, if you look him up, he's like kind of boisterous and just says it like it is, calls people out, says, like, here's a great example. He said, let's say, here's a tweet from yesterday. Let's say I spend $300,000 this year to acquire 200,000 newsletter subscribers. What would you think the payback period would be for this 300K? And then it's a poll, right? And then as a reply to that, a couple hours later, he goes, MFs be like, why pay for subs? I get them for free while spending 2 hours a day tweeting hooks. Assuming you get 1K subs per month, which is generous, you're valuing your time at less than $25 per hour. BRB, I'm paying $1 to $150 per sub in the US, growing at $500 to $1K per day. So it's just like that. Like, he's, you know, good data, good insights, kind of whatever, troublemaker. But he does these monthly breakdowns on how he makes revenue. And he's doing like $161,000 a month right now. So they're really, really interesting breakdowns. And he does full on AMAs, nothing's off the table. So if you go and follow him, you can ask him everything about how he does his business. And I think is really cool. So that's in at Indexy, IndexSy. That's one. I got one more, but what were you going to say?
I just was laughing at his writing style, like, BRB, I'm paying $1 to $1.5 per sub.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, yeah, he is funny. There's other stuff too. Like, he's just a troublemaker. So, right here, there's another one. He's like, one of my favorite pastimes is to run through an SEO agency's testimonials and then paste their clients into Ahrefs. 9 out of 10 times, those motherfuckers look like this, and it's just like a really unimpressive line of organic growth. So, clearly a sharp thinker, punchy stuff like that. I would definitely recommend the follow. The other one, this is a creator shout out, but also interesting opportunity for our community. So if you're a copywriter out there and potentially specialize in coaching practices or just like selling to high level executives in general. There's a woman, her name is Jennifer Camara, that's K-A-M-A-R-A. On Twitter, she's at I am Jen Camara, and we'll link up to all this in the show notes. She is one of our facilitators at Hampton. So she's a professional CEO coach. She's got a killer background, works with super high level executives all over the world, relaunching her website, interested in having a professional copywriter do a once over just for an opinion on it. So you can find her website at jennifercamara.com. We'll link it up in the show notes. If it seems like it's something that you specialize in and you want to give her a once over in terms of the site, you feel free to get in touch. I already asked her if it's cool if we talk about this. So you can just go to her site, find her on Twitter, where you can DM her get in touch via the site. Anyways, we'll link all that up in the show notes. And thanks for listening, people. I'm going to sign off before Tim clicks through to her Twitter account and realizes that her DMs are closed.
No, I got one as well. And I wasn't planning on this. This is someone that I've been talking to for the last 2 weeks. His name is Chris Riley. His Twitter handle is LCS Slates. So LC Slates. I've been having so much fun chatting with this dude because he built something very similar to me, except in different healthcare spaces. So if you go to his website, it's acmehealth.biz, and he built a whole conglomerate of .org sites all in different healthcare niches. And I talked to him on the phone because I go for a walk every day around the lake, and I was like, man, I saw your website and I had to talk to you because there's so many times where I think to myself, what, how is nobody else seeing this? Everybody is all worried about SaaS and subscription. And I'm one of those people, by the way, and digital products and healthcare, online healthcare is just clearly the place to be. And so he's got a baller site called diabetic.org. He built
diabetic.org. Where does diabetic. This guy get his URLs?
He was smart because he built a really big diabetes website. It was called USARX. It was basically a site that he booked deals with generic prescription memberships and then basically resold their membership. So you can pay like $9 a month and get massive amounts of savings through the copay of prescriptions. And he realized that one of the problems is that people instantly felt like these were businesses, which they are. And so he did an experiment and he just bought a .org. And the, I guess, framing around something that's a .org instead of a .com, something that simple, he says led to a much higher time on site and just like a much better conversion rate. So if you want to check him out anyway, I won't geek out about it too much, but it's acmehealth.biz. And this is just, I mean, this is my kind of guy, man. These are my kind of businesses. I love this shit. I think it's still the best opportunity on the whole internet. And it's dope. So we geeked out for a while and I like talking to him. So Chris Riley, appreciate the chat, man. Thank you.
Right on. Shout out to Chris. Cool, man. Well, always a pleasure. I think everybody listening in, let us know what you thought. Let us know where you're at. Send us your Twitter DMs, and you could DM us on, well, I guess you can't DM us on Threads, but we'll see you next week.
All right, I'll see you.